percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
It is so fantastic knowing that today we're not going to have another ice storm. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I do traffic. So on the days we have ice storms, you just, it's what you know, it's nonstop. Just basically follies, because no matter what you say, no matter what you do, there's always somebody going too fast, somebody tailgating, somebody who didn't get the memo that, yes, it's icy out there and it might look wet, but that's not the case. And be careful over bridges and overpasses. So if you're listening right now and you are ever involved in that daily thing of be careful, it's going to be icy out there, remember bridges and overpasses, all right? Those are your big nemesis, bridges and overpasses. They will get you every time. And then it's the exit ramp or the on-ramp. Those are the other trouble spots. That's just my, for today, my little effort to try and bring world peace on the highway. Whether it'll work, I don't know, but it's like, uh-oh, ice storm. It's like, okay, overtime. Yep. So anyway, you have my deepest sympathies, because once you're in an accident, it's like, oh, and then you see the miles and miles of traffic lined up behind you, and there's nothing you can do except wait it out. So fortunately, that's where we deviate from all of that reality to go into the other reality, the altered state of what if and what might and why. All right. Today's my guest. I'm going to get into this a little bit for the show, Making Marks, Elaine Clayton. It's a way of kind of getting into that intuitive element in a completely different process through drawing, line drawing, that kind of thing. Okay, so stick around for that. But first, the headliners, and I've tried to update on the Coffee House blog just because so much of this happens. You know, I only do one hour here, and there's so much that goes on during the week that I can't always get caught up with it. And that was the big UFO conference, and this is like the gathering of all the who's who, the elites in that field. And fortunately, there's one guy who does a wonderful little program on YouTube, who had them all at a round table. And it was perfect, because then you get to see who, what, why, where, and all this stuff is happening and who's covering it. And it's just a fun, you know, kind of a catch up. So Martin Willis, he's the guy who does the YouTube show, and it's the 2018 International UFO Congress, A-List is what he calls them at the round table. So you'll see what they're talking about and the frustration of why more people aren't really addressing it, because it might have something to do with, if you start talking about it, you can compare notes and find out what to look for. In my own experience, there is such a thing as having a sense, a presence. And for me, I call it a barometric pressure drop or shift. And somebody else says, well, it's like ozone. Well, the way I describe it is being in a higher altitude. The air is crisp. Your senses are heightened. And some people describe actually a certain kind of fragrance. I didn't have a fragrance. It's just that increased sense of awareness. So those kinds of things are real. And so what I did on the blog, I just went ahead and put some types of influences that they might have, and that there are a lot of people who've seen them, famous people. So we have a list of 15, including John Lennon. And I like the way, well, and then the other one was the Moody Blues. They have a song, Steppin' in the Slide Zone. And I love it, because it's like, oh, wow. And I love the song back in the day. I had no idea that it had any kind of relevance to something mystical and magical and mysterious. But that's what it is. So I've just went ahead and picked up a snippet of that. But there's just things like that that I thought, you know, we need to be doing some more dot connecting. And this is a way to do it, by telling stories and allowing people to know that it isn't abnormal. It's actually really normal when you're paying attention. Kurt Russell, it just came out that he was one of the guys who actually made a report, because he was flying, and reported that he saw that UFO during the Phoenix Lights event in 1997. Kurt Russell, you might know him. Goldie Hawn knows him really well. But it's just, he and his son were flying, and they reported it, and that was the end of it. And he didn't find out till later, when somebody was making announcements, that some pilot called it in. He goes, oh my gosh, yeah, that was me. So, and he was doing a British talk show when that came out, doing a promo for a new movie. The other thing, the good thing is we reported earlier, or somebody reported, and it got around really quickly because we all care about this, chocolate coming to a demise. And Snopes says, no, no. Valentine's was saved, and many Valentines hereafter. Anyway, that they kind of over-exaggerated there. That won't be happening. The plant is safe. But you never know. Just in case. And the other things, there was a poltergeist report here. This is the Moscow Times. Russian police, they are trying to exercise, use the right word, just interpret that, okay, get rid of the ghosts. And this is like a super, super haunted house. Bill Hall, I did the interview with him about the house on, was it Lindley Street? Super haunted. And I've got another lady coming up who lives in a haunted house in Gettysburg. But and we also talked with Terry, who lives in the haunted house up in Weston. See, there's a lot of this going on. And unless we talk about it, it's always the person who feels like, I'm the only one. And you're afraid to talk about it because it makes people nervous. But get over it. Because once you start talking about it and you realize you are talking about it, then other people go, well, okay, I'll tell you my story. And all of a sudden you realize there are a whole lot of stories out there. And that's like what happened with Dr. Kolbaba. Scott Kolbaba was the doctor I interviewed about doctors who witnessed miracles, physicians untold stories. And he said they were uncomfortable talking to people because, for one thing, they're a doctor, and so that's a license issue. And just the thing that the stereotype that this is wacky, that this is crazy, that is insane. No, 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 no. It's just under the table, in the closet, and made fun of from people who aren't yet tuned in. Okay, so we're going to tune them in. Or I will. Okay, I'll take one for the troop. Anyway, the untold stories, we were working with miracles. And the reason I brought that up is because I found another guy I'd like to interview who was talking about his own miracles. And I remember that the week that I did that show with Dr. Kolbaba, my mom called and she said, I'm going to tell you, left it on my machine, of course, left it and said, I'm going to tell you about the accident I didn't have. And this is pretty incredible. She's going down the road and there's another vehicle and there's no way for her to avoid this vehicle. And she's just trying to very quickly, you know, within the few seconds she has, counting down the last breaths of her life and everything flashing in front of her, thinking, okay, if I at least it'll be less of a hit or less damage if I do this course correction. And she might have course corrected just a teeny tiny fraction of an inch. That's how little time she had. And then it was gone. There was no accident. And she's, what? And she was wondering if she should go talk to the guy, and because she said, he had to have seen me. And then she realized, well, maybe he didn't. So this kind of stuff happens all the time in ways that we sometimes keep to ourselves because telling somebody else might make them question whether we really had the experience. And you know what's right for you, and you know what happened. And my mom was like, wow, wow, wow. But it was so amazing. Because we were talking about miracles during that time. And then here was this little miracle that happened that we have no explanation for it. But when I was doing my research with this other guest, he talked about being in India. And there was a yogi out in the middle of the road. And they were, oh my gosh, we can't miss the guy. It was dark. It was night. All of a sudden, here he is in the middle of the road. And 2 seconds later, he's behind the car. They didn't hit him. He's gone. It was a miracle, at least by our terms. With a yogi, it probably is a whole different reality. So anyway, stuff like that I find fascinating. And this week what I did was I went ahead and put them on the blog ahead of time so you can track some of that down if you're interested. The links are there. I tried to. And if you find a dead link, let me know. Okay, no prize, just a feel-good moment of ha, 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 ha. All right, the Moscow Times, that was a poltergeist. I'll link that. That isn't up there yet. But this looks like real serious stuff, and I have been on cases where this isn't anything to laugh about, okay? When it's happening to the people who are being freaked out and completely and totally basically run out of their home, and then it's just something that we have to learn to deal with and to acknowledge. There's something else going on that maybe we don't have all the answers for, but if we keep running from it and keep throwing it under the table and pretending it doesn't exist, or the people who have the experiences are just, you know, in some way, shape, or form abnormal, then we can't figure out what's really happening. And that's what's going on with the UFO stuff right now. The more reports there are, the better it is. And some of them will be phony, and that's just fine. The ones that are real are the payoff. Elaine Clayton, you've been listening to this, okay? I'm going to bring you in real quick. Making Marks, and this is about, you even have a UFO in your book. That's why I thought, okay, it's safe. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, it's safe, definitely.
It's safe. Yeah, it was page 105 for anybody who's keeping notes, keeping track. But we're going to come back and talk. Elaine Clayton is the author of Making Marks and two new books coming out, one on fairies and one on angels. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So stick around. That's next. Elaine Clayton, my guest, and she's actually a Kansas City connection. Not recently. But yes, you've got relatives here, so we'll put in a plug for that. Up next on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. It's Wendy's Coffee House. You can have tea. It's okay. I do too. Coffee's good. Tea's excellent. And, you know, throw in something else along the way. My guest, Elaine Clayton, Making Marks, as you're doing your mocha, java, tea. Just get out the pen or pencil and paper, maybe a crayon, and start practicing what I call it doodling. Sometimes it's lines, sometimes it's just all across the board. Sometimes I'll try and make something. My husband usually does much better drawings than I do. But it's the thought that counts. And so Elaine has this incredible gift, I think, of making these marks, line drawings, make sense. And first, Elaine, you had relatives in Kansas City, so this is kind of a fun thing to say, hey, here she is. She's got a couple of books, and she's actually making some really cool waves. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you. No, I have ancestry there, and I lived there. I lived in Kansas City for about 4 years in my childhood, and it played a big part in my development in many ways. So I'm honored. I can't be happier.
I like the way on the book you've got the tribute here from Raymond Moody and basically saying it facilitates intuition, releasing the mind to discover new ideas, creative inspiration, and unexpected solutions. That's for your book, Making Marks. And that, I think, were you an artist as a kid? Is that how this came about?
Well, I think in part my absolute best thing that I did to calm down or to make sense of anything was I would sit and draw. And I had I have seven kids in my family, so, and I'm the number five, so, you know, we have had a lot of activity.
Yes.
You might even call it happy chaos. But I would sort of go into my own world through drawing, and I loved drawing people, and they were very real to me, whatever I drew, whoever it was. And so, yeah, I was an artist, and in fact, yes, I mentioned to you earlier, I took lessons at the Nelson at the museum in Kansas City, and I just knew it was me. It was for me. It was something that was right for me to do this kind of creative work. So,
when did you tie the intuition element into it? Because that is where this is really solid.
Well, you know, I think that it's a very basic, simple thing. It's about quiet knowing, you know. So, like, when I describe being really young in drawing, that was me having a kind of inner dialogue. And I think the intuitive brain, you know, we have the rational and logical, and we have the receptive, creative, and intuitive, where our imagination is open and we're empathic naturally. That can't really get developed unless we keep that quiet knowing and that quiet conversation within going. And so I realized that we all have this impulse to draw, you know, from the moment we're able to hold something in our hands, you know, as toddlers. And so these stream drawings, these drawings that, you know, we do with as part of the Making Marks book, they are not really anything that would be hard or difficult. They are just absolute simple expressions of the creative life force energy that each of us have within. And so there's no reason to block yourself, you know, from doing it. You don't have to be an artist. You already are a great creator. So you close your eyes and you use your non-dominant hand just to make sure you don't get too worried about what it looks like, and you get into that flow. So I think the intuitive part is the part where we stop the world a little bit and go inward, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, And you're working with the energy. And so as for somebody who's trying to read it or trying to figure out how this works, you also have a background in Reiki. And so that's the flow. And when you're making contact with a paper, as your body lets some of that energy out, sometimes it's going to be a little bit more forceful, and other times it's real light. And then as that drawing is created, that's where you do the interpretation of what somebody has revealed. And that's where it's just absolutely fascinating.
Well, the thing that I really stress in the book is that, like, I won't interpret your drawing. I will do a drawing in honor of you, and then I'll say, hey, Wendy, can I show you what I saw in the drawing? And then you say, yeah, sure. And then if it has meaning for you, then wow, you know, and they always do. But what I don't do, and what I really don't want people to do, is to take someone else's stream drawing and then say, ah, I see what you did here, and I see what you did. You might say, hey, Elaine, will you look at my stream drawing? You know, because you did a beautiful one, and I got to look at it, and I loved it. And I wanted to say, oh, I saw this, and I saw that. But it's yours, you know, and you'd have to invite me to do that. I think what can really make people not want to draw is if they feel people are going to analyze them.
The critic, yes.
Well, the critic, the editor, the psychological tormentor, almost, you know. And I think that if anyone wanted my book to be that, where you could go, hey, I found a scribble my old boyfriend did, and it, yeah, it proves he's a psychopath. You know, that's not what this book is. This book is really for everyone to center themselves and do their own creative work, and then actually explore by gazing into that drawing that they made and see what they see and feel what they feel and make note of it and play with it.
There's one in here. Let me just to give an idea. It's on page 59. And it's a happy memory drawing. And just a beautiful little round, comfortable cloud squiggles. And there's the thing that says $20 bill, and the other one on the other side says, I felt the ocean. Now, that, if I felt the ocean, that's a happy memory. And it's just,
I know. And you know what was so wonderful about that is her first thought when she had a happy memory was she remembered finding a $20 bill. So as she closed her eyes, she drew about that. That was a totally different memory. And her eyes were wide with surprise because she said, but she felt the ocean while she drew, and it reminded her of an even more wonderful memory, which was swimming in the ocean with her brother, who had at this point gone off to college. And can you just feel the emotional depth of all that, you know?
Yes.
And just because she closed her eyes and did a drawing and thought of something.
See, that's where this, I think, is a lot more in terms of freeing up that inner critic, that thing that says it should be that way or it should be this way, because then all these emotions just come flooding out, and it's a liberating feeling.
I think so, too. And I think why it's important for us to do it and to have time in school to do these stream drawings is because when I go to schools and draw with kids, I realize that really pretty much the only marks that they make that aren't being graded on some level are the stream drawings. Any other mark they make for writing or for math or for even maybe an art class, you know, it's being evaluated in some way. So having your creative impulse to make a mark should be yours and should be a space and time and place for you to go inward and really feel the depth of your life experiences like that girl did, Brianna, just through drawing, you know, through free drawing, stream drawing, getting into the stream, you know, of consciousness flow.
Yes, the flow. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I sent you a picture, and I will invite you to give me feedback, how it made you feel, what you know, what it brought to mind, because I thought, okay, here, let's just give this, I can post this, people will see it and see how you interpret it or what it says to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, even better, though, I have to tell you, is if you told me.
Yes?
If you told me what came to you first.
Okay.
Because I'm so afraid of I would love to comment on it, but I am afraid of people analyzing each other,
Okay. Well,
so you can say that you invited me after you talked about what it was for you, and then you invited me, and that's a little different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No pressure, just, hey, How does this speak to you? Okay, all right. We're going to come back again. My guest, Elaine Clayton, making marks on Wendy's Coffee House. And I'll put this little picture on the blog. You'll know what we're talking about. The air raised by, there was no sound. We drifted high above the ground. KCMO, Wendy's Coffee House. Okay, that is the Moody Blues. Okay, there it is. That's the song I was talking about, The Slide Zone. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Martell. You got to hear this language. It's okay, he went to find a shooting star. Around the bend, that's where they are. I went along just for the ride. Suddenly, I began to glide, standing in a slide zone. I could be stepping through a time zone. The air raced by. I think that's where it started. There was no sound. We drifted high above the ground. And then he said, you know this place? And then a smile lit up his face. Standing in a slide zone. I could be stepping in a slide zone. Okay, and time zone. And if you've ever had this experience, okay, you are not alone. Just sing it along and say, oh, this is so cool. And then tell a friend, okay? That's your job. Moody Blues, they saw it first. That was 1978 from the song Steppin' in a Slide Zone. But I saw the UFO in Elaine's book, and I'm thinking, and we're talking with Elaine Clayton, Making Marks is the book. And the thing I like about this is because there are so many different stories and different ways of telling, these stories are all over the planet. When people say, I've had an experience, and sometimes it depends on the language they use, the culture, the way they interpret the information. And sometimes you can't interpret it because it's too big for words and it's mind-boggling. So drawing it and changing how you translate it and in some way, shape, or form integrate it is really important. And this is what drawing does. So when I drew my thing, all these things that I have had in my life, all these experiences are changing the way I do my art. And I'm finally accepting that some of my things that I do as art that I've felt were kind of limiting. This was a way that's like, oh my gosh, this is still art. This is still art. So I sent my little piece of art to Elaine. And it's not really, I used my right hand. I didn't use my left hand for this, I think. Now I'm fogging on whether it was right hand or left. I think it was my right hand. Mm-hmm. And I just drew this little, there's squiggles and lines. And, you know, I call it doodling. And at the same time, I had this thing of when I stopped, like, wow, this is better than I anticipated. And then I filled it in a little place. And then I can turn it around and make it. I can see a swan. I can see my numbers in there. I can see my number 7 and my number 8. And I just, the way that it speaks, I also see a little face of an entity which has one eye and a mouth. And it's fun. It's full of, for me, a joy, a play, an element that says I can create instead of my negative self-talk that says, oh, wow, that's not good enough. Does that make sense, Elaine?
Oh, it does. And something that you said really got me excited. So you know how you're describing all the things that you saw that would be, reference actual things in our world. And one was you saw a swan. And so what you would do in the process of doing a stream drawing, so you already did the drawing, you were in that stream of consciousness flow, and you had some feeling when you did it, so that's draw with emotion. And then as you gaze, you start to see stuff, and then you trusted what you saw, right?
Yes.
And so now the last stage is the really fun intuitive part where you discover and connect. So when I do a stream drawing and I see a swan, I write down what swan means to me personally, either through associations, memories, you know, or just gut feelings I have or stories that I learned once a long time ago or whatever. So if you were to give 3 words that you could note on your drawing about the swan, like if you made a notation, what would you say about swan? Like, what do they make you feel like? What do you think about? What was your first time that you saw one or learned about them?
I love their voices. I love it when they fly, that freedom, their voice, you know, the way they...
Oh, see, that's so cool. I've never even thought about their voice. So, see, like, you just gave me another dimension to my idea of swan. I don't even know if I remember what their voices sound like.
It's like geese.
But see, that's wonderful because you are a voice. You're doing your voice right now. You're helping others give a voice to what they, you know, their purpose is in life. See how kind of awesome it is?
So it's, yes.
Like, and then the further you go and the deeper you go, you start to have that inner conversation about what things mean to you personally. And we share a lot of the same meanings. I know what a swan is, and you know. But the gift is when I listen to what you say swan means for you.
Yeah.
Because you give me something just because you have your own unique experience. So, in other words, that's one of the ways we open to a deeper self-knowledge through this, and then make a portal for someone else to connect with them over, the symbology that we find.
Let me also suggest here that when you're doing drawings and you're doing artwork, at least as an artist, it helps to go back and look and see. And this is a type of drawing for me that there's something, it's self-revealing. So when somebody else interprets it, they're also, like Lane and I talked off the air, you're also giving a piece of yourself when you tell somebody what you think about another thing. This, uh-huh. as I looked at it and continue to go back to it, because it's been maybe 2 or 3 months since I did it, and I kept bringing it back. I put it in a book, and I would fall out again. I'm like, wow, this is. And so the most recent revelation was that, my gosh, this is a person who's and it's almost like meditating, but internally focused and juggling. I see the juggler there, mm-hmm. juggling the energy, that working with basically chi, prana, whatever you want to call it, but juggling mm-hmm. the balls and juggling the space. You know, so I see that in there is this person side view juggling mm-hmm. the balls. I'm thinking, wow, that is cool. I didn't see that before.
That is so cool because you allowed me to look at it and tell you what I saw. You
yes.
invited me to do that.
Yeah.
And so respectfully, I consider it an honor to be able to do that. And again, whatever I tell you I see, it's about me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in any way judging you or your drawing. But I'm so excited because when I looked at it, I saw the meditator and the balls. I love that you just said juggling, and I didn't think of juggling. I thought of just playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how some things in life are a game, and as long as we know it's a game, we don't have to think that our soul can be ruined by it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Our soul can't be destroyed, and so a lot of the things that we take so seriously are really, in a way, just games. But no, I loved looking at this drawing because I had a feeling of peace. I had a feeling of a meditation and a meditator, and it just, so it, without even seeing representational things like those balls that you mentioned, the feeling was full and hopeful and exciting at the same time.
That's really neat. The meditation thing came through to you. Yeah, it's that focus, that cohesive thought, that
mm-hmm.
coherence there that I'm like, oh, wow. Because just, you know, if you're listening, it's like these. There's no pressure doing this. It's just like, okay, I'm going to play and see what comes out. And then I created a little spots of it where I thought, well, I'll fill this in and fill that in to make some kind of a weight, add a little bit
mm-hmm.
of a weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then whether the picture flows with that, it really doesn't make any sense. It's just how I feel when I'm making the creation. And that's what you're making marks is about with these stream drawings of
mm-hmm.
letting that energy take form. And
mm-hmm.
Some of the ones that you have worked with, when you have given the representations of these to give people an idea of how they look, it's that same thing of some have a certain meaning to them. And there was one where you saw a woman who had I think it was an amputation, a limb.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was a fascinating story. We don't have time to get into it before the break, but after the break, if you would share some of the ways, and then your new books that are out with the fairies, because these are coming out in March.
Yeah, I would love to tell you about all of those things.
Okay,
yeah.
okay. Of course, that's why you're here. All right.
I can't wait.
And your website for people who want to follow along at home is easy to find, right, at laneclayton.com.
Totally easy, yeah.
All
and
right.
I'm on Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook, too.
Okay, so stick around. We're going to come back and explain a little bit more of how these things work and talk about angels and fairies, too, on Wendy's Coffee House.
Yay.
Am I dreaming?
No.
Am I dreaming?
What am I doing?
Talk radio. Wendy's Coffee House. That's
myself.
Meg's Headroom. You recognize that.
I must have a star on my door.
A door. Yeah. Star on my door. Uh-huh. There it is.
Doors, huh?
Along with little hearts.
Doors.
Flowers. Swans.
Cool.
And Elaine Clayton, my guest, making marks. You see, music, it speaks to us in different ways, and sometimes it's just so subtle that it goes right in, and we never even know it's there. But when you go back and you listen to songs, you remember where you were at certain times in your life, and that's what it's about. It's almost like a set point, And there are some songs that are just so incredibly moving that you don't even realize until you hear it again that, my gosh, that was a time that made so much sense to me. And I remember listening to 8-track tapes, yeah, with my dad in the car. And he used to like, one of his favorites was Nat King Cole. And I'm like, you know, so anytime I hear that, I will remember my father. He's deceased. And I would remember the joy with that, with his music and the things that he really enjoyed. So that's why with this show, there are little bits and pieces that fit into some way, shape, or form our timeline. You have, with this, let's go back and pick it up real quick with, you've done the interpretations. The one we talked about was a woman who was missing. I don't remember if it was amputation or how it worked, but that was it's a fascinating drawing, and it's in the book. Okay, so I wanted to refer to that for sure.
Yeah, well, this was the very first stream drawing that I did for the purpose of not art, but a tool for intuitive exploration. I was about to have someone call in. I didn't know anything about the person. And I just started to close my eyes and draw, and then I looked at it, because I always meditate before, before I have a client. And I thought, wow, I saw what looked like kind of like a grandma, and she looked like she was in the hospital with the IV and the tubes and all that, but she only had one leg, and I thought, well, oh, gosh, how could I tell this to somebody, you know, so... The client calls in, and I said, you know, can I just share with you? I did a drawing while I was meditating before you called. Can I just share with you what I see in it? And she was really easygoing, and she said yes. And I said, well, I see this grandma, and she seems like she's in the hospital, and she, but she's missing one leg. And there was a silent pause, and then this person said, well, they did take my grandmother's leg when she was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, how could this be? You know, on behalf of this person I didn't know anything about, really in a prayerful way I drew so that the time she had with me would really give her support for her life, you know. And this, you call it a synchronicity or whatever, to me it was just pure magic. I mean, it was just God-given something, you know, and I realized we can do this for each other. It's not hard. There's nothing hard about it. So, and then as I turned the drawing and told her about other things I saw, those things had relevance as well. But, and so from that point on, anytime I had a client, I would do a stream drawing for them first before talking to them. And now that's what my readings are. They start out with sharing what I saw when I meditated on their behalf and did a stream drawing for them.
See that?
Yeah. Powerful.
Yeah, that is, that's a gift. It's so incredible to see some of the drawings that you have and the interpretations and the way they work. We're going to run out of time. I wanted to get to the two books you have coming out. And since you're an artist, that's what you do. There's some children's books there. You do the spirit drawings and things like that. People can see them on your website, ElaineClayton.com. But the two books that are coming out, Fairies, Yay! And Angels.
Yay.
Okay.
A little bit of Fairies and a little bit of Angels, and they're out March 6th.
Okay.
And they're just wonderful introductions.
Are these for big people or little people?
These are for big people, but they might share them with some little people a little, you know?
I saw the postcard on your Facebook page. It says, come see me. Here's my book. I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, we're going to have a little fairy angel party.
Okay.
And everyone can do that.
And then so with the fairies, is this childhood memories? How does it...
Well, you know, with fairies and angels, again, it's not that different in spirit from the stream drawing. I really want to just share my own experiences and hope to encourage anyone else to develop their own spiritual experiences with nature spirits, with angels, you know. But we dip into a little bit of history, a little bit of stories, personal accounts, you know, things like that. So it was actually really more than fun to do these books.
Well, okay, so was there a particular one when you're working with either of them that spoke to you more?
Oh, well, you know, I absolutely loved a moment in time when I said prayers to be shown the spirit world more. You know, I wanted to really see angels and things, and I was shown the most basic elements of life, which are what I would call the fairies that are in, you know, the flowers and things, and they actually look very traditional, like what our fairy tales have told us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the masculine and feminine counterparts, and the masculine was like a little soldier.
Wow.
And the feminine was like the most beautiful ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised. I thought that those were just tales, but I realized, no, they knew back then, and they passed those stories down. And I've got a lot of angel accounts that are life-changing for me and meaningful. So, and I know you don't have time to hear all of them, but...
Oh, well, okay. You know. Yeah, we've got like 3 minutes. I know.
I have a favorite one.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so there was this point in time when I thought... I really wanted to see certain types of visions, you know, like, you know, how people at Medjugorje, they saw Mary, and they, you know, it
yes.
just seemed so fun. Like, why can't I have a vision like that? And I had had a dream before of a spirit guide or a guardian angel, and he was maybe in his 20s, a really easygoing African-American guy, like my best friend. Like, I felt like I knew him forever. And after I was really sort of asserting that I wanted to have one of those visions, you know, I had a dream where I was really told off by that guide or that angel. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Don't push the river, don't mess with the time."
Whoa.
And I woke up and I felt really rebuked, and I knew what he meant is there are some things you're not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to ask God to send you what is best for you,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there's that saying, you know, ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
If you're not ready to receive something, but you're being really Miss Prissy Pushy with God and demanding it, you're kind of messing with the time, you know? So I think I love that that angels can tell us off, you know,
yeah.
and set us straight. And I really love that one.
It was a boot rather than the ballet slipper.
It was, but the ballet slippers are out there. All you have to go out and kiss a flower and talk to a leaf, you know, hug a tree. They'll talk to you.
I love your work. It's so fun, and it's just one of those things where it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be. Put your energy into it, and then say, "What can I see? What is here? And show me." And that's what you said. You know, you did the same thing instead of saying, "I demand." Though I think we might want to say, "What can I see? What are you willing to show me?" And then
yeah, I learned.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
smacked. I learned. So now I ask, God, send me what is best for me. Send me what, according to your will, which is best for me, that would serve me and others to the ultimate best.
Okay.
Instead of being, you know, hey, but I do so, you know, we do get to say, hey, I really love this, and I would love to have this experience, and then just let it go, you know? But we aren't supposed to lose track of our own ideals, because that's our soul essence. So it's not like you go, well, I'm not going to ask for a solar house because that's telling God what to do. No, God wants us to have what we desire, but it's just you just put it out there and love the feeling of it as though you already have it, and maybe it will materialize in divine timing.
Hey, Elaine, thank you so much. We got to get out of here, but your website, for people who are interested, they can connect with you on Facebook. The website, ElaineClayton.com, and you can see more of Elaine's work. The spirit paintings and the fairies are in there, too. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and we'll talk again. I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product with your books, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I had such a great time. It was an honor.
And if you're listening, I did the links are on the Wendy's Coffee House, all the UFO stuff. You know, I can't get away from that. Sorry. It's just one of those things. It's front and center, and finally they're talking about it on a larger scale. So maybe you'll see one if you haven't already. If not, you might meet someone who has. And you have. Thanks for listening. Wendy's Coffee House, the blog. Check out the links. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.